Okay, let's get ourselves ready to hear the word this morning. Okay, all of those sounds. Right, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We humble ourselves, Lord, that you'd come and have your way in our hearts. We ask you, Lord, that you'd speak to us today. May your name be glorified. The entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And we thank you for your mercies today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, are you ready to hear the word? Amen. Great, let's go into it. Today we are continuing on the journey to explore the kingdom atmosphere. Last week we started talking about the kingdom atmosphere. We did an intro where we're exploring the concept of the environment and how the environment impacts what gets to thrive in that particular setup. So the environment is very important. It is important that you understand what type of environment is needed for what. Come on now. It's important that you have a revelation of the environment that you need for certain things to happen. Now, this morning, I want to do part two of the kingdom atmosphere. And as I was preparing, the Lord led me to this. And the title of my message this morning is Life Through the Spirit. Life Through the Spirit. In other words, you are living your life through the Spirit. You can live your life through the flesh. You can live your life through people's opinions. You can live your life through what's popular in the day, pop culture. In other words, it shapes the way you dress. Okay? It shapes the way you think. There was an article that came out yesterday in IOL, which was saying sometime in the future, the laws are going to allow women to be married to more than one husband. Come on now. I'm like, yo, Uncle Siam. I'm like, okay, but that would be the culture. So when our boys grow up, what culture are they going to find themselves in? Our girls, what culture are they going to find themselves in? But when you live your life through the Spirit, your life is consistent regardless of what happens around you. Regardless what's popular, regardless of what's nice, you are consistent because you are a person of the Spirit. And this morning I want you to know there are very few things that can create kingdom culture like the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now put this down. Living through the Spirit attracts kingdom manifestations in your life. When you live through the Spirit, you have the right environment that draws God to you. You create the right atmosphere that attracts the things of the kingdom. You see, a person of the Spirit is led by God. A person of the Spirit is guided by God. A person of the Spirit is empowered by God. That is why this morning we are talking about life through the Spirit. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit changes a natural person into a supernatural person. That for me, that just did it. That the work of the Holy Spirit changes me from just being an ordinary guy to being a supernatural person. Because what the Spirit brings is that the thing called the super. When you are a person of the Spirit, the way you work is different. The way you put together your proposals at work is different. When you are a person of the Spirit, the way you enter into an interview room and you answer those questions is different. Because you are a supernatural person. You have something called the Holy Spirit in your life. Glory be to God. Put this down. The kingdom of God is spiritual and can only manifest in a spiritual atmosphere. They will say, he dropped the mic. I want you to know the kingdom of God is very spiritual. And it can only manifest in a spiritual environment. When you have a family that is spiritually charged, they will experience the kingdom of God. I was leading my kids in prayer, I think on Wednesday night. And we were talking about how God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we can think or even imagine. So I said to my daughter, what are you believing God for? And she told me, my son, what are you believing God for? He told me. And then said, Daddy, what are you believing God for? I told them. And I said, then let's pray together. Let's trust God that God will do extraordinary things for us. And I saw that as a spiritual moment for me and my kids. So we keep on praying for these things. So I told them, you know what Daddy is looking for? When you pray in the morning, pray for me. Guess what? When God does those things, their lives will never be the same again. They will say, we prayed together. We trusted God. And look at what God did for us. From that young age, they will know what it means to wait on God until God comes through for you. So when we become spiritual people, we attract kingdom activities in our lives. Let me say this to you. If you've got children, your children are not too young to be taught how to pray. No, they are not too young to be taught how to pray. I am reminded of Samuel. Samuel had the voice of God around the age of 7. Samuel had not heard the voice of God until he went to Eli and said, did you call me? And Eli said, no, I did not. The next time you hear that voice, say, speak to me, for your servant is listening. When you go on to see what God told Samuel, it was not small matters. God was telling Samuel, I have an issue with Eli. I have an issue with his entire family. And because he did not deal with his family, I will deal with him. God was pronouncing judgment and he was talking to a little boy of 7 years old. And today we say our 11-year-old kids are too young. No. Spiritual things require a spiritual environment for manifestation to take place. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. I'm still on this point. The kingdom of God is spiritual and can only manifest in a spiritual environment. Look at this. Paul is saying, but people who are not spiritual cannot receive the truths from God's Spirit. Why? It all sounds foolish to them, and they cannot understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Only those who are spiritual can comprehend the things of the Spirit. So if I am to manifest kingdom, I need to have a shift in the way that I live. I need to start living through the Spirit. And therefore, when I do that, my life becomes conducive for it to be an instrument through which God can operate. You see, your kingdom journey starts with the activity of the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Your being born again was initiated by the Holy Spirit. So the starting point for you to realize that you need Jesus in your life, it's not because you are wise, it's not because you realize that you cannot do this, it's the activity of the Holy Spirit upon your heart. Then you say, I can't go on like this. I need Jesus in my life. So I want you to realize that the journey in the kingdom of God starts with the activity of the Holy Spirit. It's not about how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter how wise you are in the natural, unless the Holy Spirit, I'll call him the hound of heaven, comes on you and say to you, it cannot go on like this. you will not say yes to Jesus. So each one of us today who came to that realization, the Holy Spirit had to do a work in your heart. Jesus Christ himself, when he was about to start his journey as the Messiah, he needed an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the man, needed an encounter with the Holy Spirit before he started his public ministry. Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he had been baptized, he went out of the water immediately, went up out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. Jesus, the man, could not start his ministry until the encounter with the Holy Spirit. Until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, the gift of the Holy Spirit in this way was the public approval of Jesus and a sign of being set apart as the Messiah. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, there is a setting apart that happens. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he takes ownership of our lives. Glory be to God. You see, even the disciples, before they had to go into ministry, Jesus said, guys, I love you, but I'm not sure if I trust your ability to do this work. Because this work cannot be done by men's trials and, you know, men's ability. No, the things of God cannot be done by our own effort. Our ability to tap into the things of heaven, it's not about how many times we pray. Because sometimes you can pray. But the work of the Holy Spirit makes it happen for us. When we are assisted by the Holy Spirit, our prayers take on a different shape. So Jesus said to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. He was saying, I was with you for 3.5 years, but I want to be in you. I was around you. But when the Holy Spirit comes, when my spirit, because remember, we are talking about the Spirit of Jesus. When my Spirit comes, I will be inside of you and I will give you ability. And then in verse 8, he says, this is the reason why I don't want you to go by yourself, but you shall receive power. Dunamis. You shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. You need dunamis to manifest the kingdom of God. The Bible says it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. In your workplace, you need dunamis. You need the power of the Holy Spirit because your workplace is very spiritual. People go to sangomas in order to keep their jobs. People visit Inyanga in order to get promotions. Who do you visit in order to get promotion? Come on now. Who do you visit in order to keep your job? The Bible tells us that promotion neither comes from the east nor from the west, but it comes from the Lord, the one who raises one man and pulls down another man. You need dunamis. You need the power from on high for you to make a difference where you are. You are a business person. You know, people kill for them to make it in business. What are you sacrificing in order to make it in business? We sacrifice on our knees. When you do that, come what may, my business will make it. It doesn't matter how spiritual charged it is. Why? Because I sacrifice. At night, I have an altar in my house. I want you to know, people have got altars in their homes where they do stuff. And Bazalwani have got no altars at all in their homes. Is there a place in your house that you say, this is my altar? And I go before that altar with my children. Every morning before I go to work, I visit my altar. Every night before I go to sleep, I visit my altar. You see, where we stay, it's a contestation of altars. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. The environment where we stay, it's a contestation of kingdoms. It's a contestation of altars. When I build my altar before God, there's no other altar that will be able to stand against me. That is why I said earlier on, the kingdom of God is spiritual. It is only the spiritual that will manifest it. Now, I want you to realize that every kingdom person needs encounters with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a few of these encounters that you need. Number one, you need to be born of the Holy Spirit. You need to be born of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was telling Nicodemus that you need to be born of the Holy Spirit. John 3 verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of the Spirit, unless your spirit man is transformed, you cannot experience the rulership, the reign, the sovereignty of God over your life." So you need to be born of the Spirit. Number two, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, "And do not be drunk with wine." Selah. "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. It's a continuous one. Continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill me up till I overflow. Hallelujah. Fill me up every morning when I wake up, so that when I go out there, I'm able to distribute the kingdom of God. When you carry the Holy Spirit, it is easy to walk the kingdom life. Number three, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 1 verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now on." You shall be baptized. Baptizo, being immersed in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit, with the result of speaking in a new tongue. Glory be to God. Now, there are a number of other things. The Bible talks about when you get born again, you get sealed by the Holy Spirit. You get sealed by the Holy Spirit, being as a down payment for the day of redemption. See what the Holy Spirit does when you get born again? He seals you. He marks you. "I've got a seal on my forehead." And the devil knows that I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. You belong to the Most High God. Every child of God needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've already alluded to that. "And you shall receive power after which the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And then every child of God needs to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. That 1 John 2, it talks about you have received the anointing. And that same anointing has taught you the truth. And therefore you don't need any other teacher, because that anointing abides on you. Talks about the Holy Spirit anointing us and teaching us. And it says, "We will not be drawn astray by diverse doctrines," because we've been taught of the Holy Spirit. We are anointed of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Guess what? That was an intro. Hallelujah. Now, whilst all of these operations of the Holy Spirit are key for kingdom living, this Part B of today's sermon, I want to give attention to what is alluded in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That's where I want to hang my clock today. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, these are the children of God." What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? You've got the Holy Spirit, brother. You are tongue talking, great. But what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? You see, being led by the Spirit is a sure sign of creating an atmosphere conducive for kingdom manifestation. When you are led by the Spirit, you create that environment that just says, heaven come, and heaven will come. Glory be to God. This is when we sing songs like Oceans. I don't know how many of us have really paid attention to the words of Oceans. What was in the heart of Hillsong Church worship when they wrote this song? And I remember just doing a research. I wanted to understand what was the spirit behind this. What drew them? And what they said was, the Lord led us to the time when Peter saw Jesus on the waters. And Peter said, if you are Jesus, call me to come upon the waters. And Jesus said, come upon the waters. This is when we say, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Really? Wherever you would call me, I will come. What has the Lord been calling you to do? Have you gone? It's comfortable in the boat. It's safe. It's secure. The future is clear in the boat. But out on the waters, it's a different ball game. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Lead me to that place. This is the story of a kingdom person. This is the story of that person who is being led by the Spirit of God. You see, when you are born again, your spirit man is regenerated. We said that is the starting point. What that means is that you become alive to the things of the Spirit and dead to the things of the flesh or things of the world. Now, Titus 3 verse 5 says, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Take note, it speaks of through the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Rebirth and renewal. Child of God, the Bible says when you are in Jesus, behold, all things have become new. The old have gone and the new has come. I love it. Because when you are in the presence of the Savior, He says, all things have become new. You are a new person. You know that song that says, I am a new creation. I don't know how to sing. But I know the song, hallelujah. I will stick to my line. You see, the regeneration of your spirit enables you to be led by God. Every child of God is sensitive to the leading of the Father. That is why Jesus would say, my sheep hears my voice. When you are born again, you will hear the voice of the Father. You know what? I'm married going 15 years this year. If my wife laughs that contagious laughter of hers in the crowd, I will pick it up and that one is mine. Come on now. When you are in the house of your Father long enough, when your daddy calls behind the wall, you know it's Papa calling. And this is what I want us to understand as children of God, that when we are born again, we can hear the voice of the Father. Do you know what has been our problem? We have made the hearing of the voice of God so complicated. We have made it so mystic that we miss it when He is speaking. He said, but I've been speaking all along. Now, let me say this. Many people have a wrong view of speaking in tongues. Your ability to speak in a heavenly language does not automatically attract heaven to you. Come on now, you can speak so many heavenly languages. But if you are not being led by the Spirit of God, those heavenly languages are just mechanical. Nothing will change in your life. A lot of believers use tongues as a talisman, as a magic wand, that you just flip it and things will change in your life. Sometimes you go, you pray in another tongue for hours, but nothing is really changing. It's because your life is not aligned with kingdom. They're like, Pastor, really? Now, I want you to realize that your ability to speak in a new tongue should be a topping on top of your kingdom, in top of your life that is led by the Spirit. It's an add-on. You see, to be led by the Spirit of God describes the lifestyle of those who are children of God. It is more than a synonym of being Christian. You know, it's more than a synonym. When you are a child of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. So Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Let's look at the context. Remember, I've told you before, walk slowly when you go through scriptures. Okay? So you read a verse, but you don't stop there. You read the paragraph. You don't stop there. You read the chapter. You don't stop there. You read the book. You don't stop there. You read the testament. By the time you're done, you've got context for that verse. So I've been doing a study of the prayers in the Bible. And I was about to study the prayer of Jesus in John 17. And I read the first line and something told me, you should not start there. Go back. And I went back to chapter 12 of John to understand the context of when Jesus made this prayer of John 17. So the context of Romans 8:14 starts from in verse 1 of Romans. But let's go to verse 12. Now this is what Paul says in verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, through the enablement, through the help of the Holy Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And then he says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In other words, from this context, you would understand that those who are led by the Spirit of God do things in a different way. Now, put this down. Being led by the Spirit of God, therefore, involves gradually putting to death sinful appetites. If you're being led by the Spirit of God, something happens inside of you. There are things that die and there are things that get life. Okay, let me repeat that. When you are being led by the Spirit of God, your life cannot be the same anymore. The Spirit of God would lead to the death of certain things and would lead to the living of certain things. The Bible tells us that if we live, we no longer live in debt. We are not indebted to this flesh. Why? Because there was a regeneration that took place the moment I say Jesus come into my life. You see, there are appetites that we have. And I've come to realize that when you crave for something, when you go with the first bite, it says, go for the seconds. Go thirds. Go fourth. Before you know it, that chocolate bar you got is done in the first bite. Yet you told yourself, I'll just break a little bite and I put the rest in the fridge for next week. But, oh, Lord have mercy. know how it is? I'm like that with peanuts. When I buy a pack of peanuts, right, I tell myself, oh, just have a little bit. But after you've had a couple of them, you just can't stop. So the more you feed an appetite, the more the appetite grows. The same thing is true in our spiritual lives. The more we feed our spiritual appetites, the more it grows. Hallelujah. The more you get into the word, the more you want the word, because it is as sweet as honey on your lips. Let's talk about series on Netflix. You watch the one, you're like, just to see what's happening in the next episode. You go on, and before you know it, it's midnight. But I want you to know that when you are led by the Spirit will sway you into a certain direction. The Spirit will draw you into certain places. The more you are pliable, the more you yield, the more it gets easier and easier and easier to spend time in the presence of God. Now, whilst a lot of Christians generally are led by the Spirit of God, this morning I want you to know there are increasing degrees of being led by the Spirit. These things grow. Every child of God is led by the Spirit, but there are degrees to which each one of us are being led by the Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit comes and He gleans in your heart and He leads you in a certain way. You follow, you agree with Him. He takes you deeper. See that song that says, take me deeper to a place where my faith will become strong in the presence of my Savior. The more we yield to the Holy Spirit, the easier it becomes. It's like when you go to the gym. The more you pump that iron, 5 kgs after 2 weeks, like, hey, this thing is very light. Just add more. Okay? Those of you who run, you do 5 kgs for a number of days. After a while, 5 kgs is like, I'm done already. Let's go for another 2. You grow into it. The more you yield to the leading of the Spirit of God, the easier it becomes. Now put this down. The level of your obedience is a true measure of how much you're being led by the Holy Spirit. The level of my obedience. Sometimes it's a thought that comes into your mind, and the thought says, shouldn't you spend a bit more time in prayer? The thought says to you, shouldn't you read a bit more of this book? You pay attention to that thought, you will realize that more and more you get those thoughts in your life. Now, where we have read in Romans 8:14, allow me to bring in a bit of Greek here. Okay? So when you go into the Greek, you'd find that that word led, in Greek it is translated as a present participle. So being led, one can then read that with emphasis, those who are continually being led by the Spirit of God. So our English version doesn't do it justice, but the Greek will show you that it's a present participle. Okay, guys who did English in matric, right? Present participle is an ongoing thing. So you'll be able to say, those who are continually being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The implication here is that the leading of the Spirit goes beyond the comprehension of scriptures when you're reading them in the morning. The leading of the Spirit means that you are being led every single moment of your life. There is never a moment that the Holy Spirit has got no opinion concerning your situation. I want you to hear that good. There is never a situation that the Holy Spirit has no opinion concerning. So, what does this mean? Put this down. The leading of the Holy Spirit includes being sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit throughout the day. That is why we are saying today, living or life through the Spirit. So those who are continually being led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So we are saying here, the leading of the Holy Spirit includes being sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit throughout the day. How many times have you been reminded of your wallet? Or you remembered, let me say it that way. You remembered that I don't have my wallet. You go back into the house before driving out. How many times have you remembered that you've left your mask in your bedroom when you are in your car or you're about to catch a taxi? Sometimes we've minimalized the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and in the process we shortchange ourselves. And I'm talking about being sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When you are sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, your life becomes conducive for kingdom manifestation. Why? Because you're an easy partner with Him. He's able to partner with you every moment of your life as you do your life through the day. Now, I want to share with you just three promptings, and I'll be quick. Three promptings for those of you who are being led by the Spirit of God. Those of us who are saying, I want to manifest kingdom in my life. When I go to work, I want the kingdom to be experienced by my people. Number one, the first prompting. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit would lead you which route to take on a certain morning. How many of you have said, I don't even know what led me that way. I don't even know I was supposed to go that way, but I just felt, no, let me go the other way. Do you think it was just your wisdom? When we attribute those promptings to the Holy Spirit, the more of the promptings we'll experience in our lives. When we pay attention to these mundane things of life, where we, out of our own ability, we would not have reached that conclusion. But somehow we reached that conclusion. How many of you, a guy comes and he proposes, but your spirit man tells you, everything looks great, but no, doesn't feel right. You attribute it to your past experiences. No. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit will guide you. John chapter 16 verse 13. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. When the Spirit comes, He's called the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all truth. How many times have we asked Him to guide us? The Holy Spirit will guide you even in the mundane things of life. He will guide you even when you are there in Foshini. Yeah? We think He's not interested. I think He is very much interested. You buy this piece of outfit and people look at you, they see the glory of God. They're like, wow, it's like you are born with that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We just think the Holy Spirit is there to give us shandai, shandai, all of that thing. No, the Holy Spirit is alive. The Holy Spirit is interested in who you are and what you dress. We're buying a house 8 years ago. And there's a house we went to. Everything was fine. But we walked through the house. There was a testimony in our hearts. This is not our house. This is not our house. You know, the pool was right in front of the doorstep. I don't want my little one to walk straight into the pool. How many times have you tried to do things, but the Holy Spirit pulls you back? He doesn't allow you to do it. Look at this. Isaiah 42, verse 16. I will lead the blind by a way they did not know. I will guide them on unfamiliar paths. I will turn darkness into light before them, and rough places into level ground. These things I will do for them, and I will not forsake them. That's the desire of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you in unfamiliar territory, where everybody will say, you cannot do that business deal, but somehow in your spirit, man, there's a testimony that says, this is for me. Ah, I just love it. Paul experienced the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it sounded a bit strange, because what Paul wanted to do in Phrygia was preaching the word. Look at this here in Acts 16 verse 6. I'm talking about being guided by the Holy Spirit. Acts 16 verse 6. And coming through Phrygian in the Galatian region, and by the Holy Spirit being forbidden to speak the word in Asia. Was there anything wrong with preaching the word? No, but it was not time. The Bible says here, the Holy Spirit forbidden them. You see, sometimes you are forbidden from doing something that looks good on the outside, but he's saying it's not time. You see, time is not time until time is time. That's Greek, right? But it does make sense. The season is not the right season until the season has arrived. You can do a good thing in a bad season and it flips around. And you wonder why. Now, verse 7. Having come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not allow them. Then passing by Mysia, they came down into Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia stood, begging him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he saw the vision, we immediately tried to go into Macedonia, gathering that the Lord had called us in order to preach the gospel to them. It was not time for Mysia. It was not time for Phrygia, but it was time for Macedonia. When they went into Macedonia, a revival broke out into that place. They could have gone into Mysia and toiled and toiled and toiled, and nothing was going to come through. But in Macedonia, they were received with open hands, and the church was planted there. I'm talking about understanding the times. Oh, I wish I had more time to just labor on that. But the second prompting, the Holy Spirit will teach you. It sounds too ordinary, but I want to be taught of the Holy Spirit. You see, my daughter is growing. She's going into 12 years this year. And you can see the dynamics are changing. The way I'm talking to her is changing. She's answering back in a different way. She is reasoning. She's not just taking things. I need to be taught of the Lord how to treat her as she goes through different phases of life. Hello? In your new job, don't you need to be taught by the Holy Spirit? In your new business, don't you need to be taught on how to do business in that space? John 14, 26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have told you. You know what? I've adopted this in my life. If I leave my house and then I get to wherever I'm getting and I'm wondering, I don't think I put on the alarm. I don't think I put on the alarm. I have two options. One, to worry about the safety of my house. Two, to say, if I needed to and something was going to happen, the Holy Spirit would have prompted me before I left. And because nothing came through, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're looking after that place. And I continue in life with peace. When we are open to these promptings of the Holy Spirit, it changes the atmosphere around us. You see, the kingdom of God will be manifested when you do life with excellence. When you do a presentation with excellence and you do things and people wonder, where did he get these ideas from? Taught of the Holy Spirit. We are talking about kingdom manifestation. Somebody here needs to go and ask the Holy Spirit to teach them how to do certain things. Let's do the last one. So these three promptings, guys, are very key in kingdom manifestation. Being guided, being taught. And lastly, the Holy Spirit will convict you of righteousness. The Holy Spirit will convict you of righteousness. I want you to hear me good this morning. I'm going to say something that will blow some of your theology here. The Holy Spirit will not convict you of sin. Pastor, really? The Holy Spirit will convict you of righteousness. After you are convicted of righteousness, that leads on to repentance. The Holy Spirit will not remind you of how bad your sin is. The Holy Spirit reminds you of how good Jesus is. I want you to hear this theology right. The Holy Spirit convicts you of the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the love of God. Then you look at your life. You then say, it cannot be. Things have to change. Many people have misquoted John 16 verse 8. Let's go into it. Let's go into some theology class today. John 16, 8 says, and when he has come, who? The Holy Spirit, ne? He will convict the world of sin. Does it say sins? It says he will convict the world of sin. It's a particular sin that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of. Then says, and of righteousness, and of judgment. So saints, there are three levels of convictions we pick up here. One, it's a conviction of sin. Two, it's a conviction of righteousness. Three, it's a conviction of judgment. Where does it apply? Many times we stop there. We don't go to verse 9. Look at verse 9. That is where the answer lies. John says, now he's explaining the three dimensions of conviction. Number one, concerning sin, right? Concerning sin because they did not believe on him. So conviction of sin, it is the one sin of not believing in Jesus, and that conviction is upon the non-believer. The Holy Spirit convicts the non-believer of the sin of unbelief. The world is not convicted of murder. It's not convicted of lying. The one conviction is, I don't believe in Jesus. Then you confess your sins. The entry point is a conviction of unbelief towards Jesus. And this is what the Apostle John is saying. He says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world because they do not believe in me. This is what Jesus is saying. Secondly, the second conviction is concerning righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So a child of God is convicted of the goodness of God, of the righteousness of God. Thereafter, when they have seen the goodness of God, it leads to repentance. You then confess your sins. That is why the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in the Lord, okay? He does not come and remind us of our sins. He reminds us of our righteousness in Jesus. That is why the Apostle Paul, when he was talking to the church at Corinth, after they had committed sexual immorality, he did not say to them how bad they are. He said to them, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's a different theology. But it is congruent. It is in line with scriptures. A child of God is convicted of the goodness of God. Now, I'll take you there to Romans 2 just now. But then the other conviction is concerning the devil. The Bible says here in verse 11, concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So there are three convictions. One, the world is convicted of the sin of unbelief. Two, a child of God is convicted of righteousness because Jesus went to the Father with the blood of atonement. Therefore, we walk by the righteousness of Jesus, not of our own. So when I am reminded of the love of God, I then repent. I then say, I cannot repay him all this goodness for, I mean, living this way. No, I can't. That is the conviction that is upon your heart now. Hallelujah. And then the third conviction is of the devil. The devil is always reminded that he's judged. Remember in 1 John, the Bible says, those who are in God, you see, the love of God, perfect love casts out all fear. Because you know there is no judgment anymore. Judgment is reserved for the devil. When you are in God, perfect love casts out fear. You are not afraid of judgment. Why? Because you are a child of God. Ah, okay. Romans 2:4. This is where the Bible says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to your repentance?" When you contemplate on the goodness of God, so now the Holy Spirit comes into your life and he prompts you around matters of righteousness. He reminds you of the death of Jesus. He reminds you of how he has carried your sins and your iniquities and says you don't have to go on this way. Then you repent. The last point I want to raise is everyone who is led by the Spirit produces spiritual fruit. And spiritual fruit attracts kingdom manifestation. When you are led by the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 becomes a reality. We don't pursue fruit. We pursue being led by the Spirit, and then the fruit becomes natural. Have you ever had an orange tree groaning in order to bear orange fruit? It does what's natural to it. So you as a child of God, when you are led by the Spirit, you do what's natural to you. You produce patience, love, kindness, meekness. All of those nine fruit comes through naturally because you are walking by the Spirit. Oh, that was a mouthful. Did you get something this morning? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There is liberty in God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And this is the freedom that we have. Knowing that, he reminds us of his righteousness. I want you to pray for yourself. I don't know what prompting you want to experience. Say, Lord, guide me. Lead me. I don't know if the guys at the back have this song, Oceans. If you can play that song, I know I'm springing a surprise on you. As we pray, sorry I took a bit long, but mothers took my time. I want us to pray for the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. The prompting of the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit of God, we come before you this morning. We pray that you would come and prompt us in our daily walk. We pray for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We ask for the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, O God, in the name of Jesus, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in the Lord. This morning I pray for this revelation, that somebody would understand that when we walk by the Spirit, we are led, we are guided, our steps are ordered by God. Your word says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. This morning we pray that you'd order our steps.